been called rare.
We always knew you were rare and unique.
Sure, in that context, but.
So, in terms of paper that you have in your house, if you are one of those people who must have a piece of paper to pay off of rather than setting up something online or going paperless, how do you get rid of it so that it protects you? You can shred it. At some risk that people will take your information. And I've actually had somebody go to a recycling facility and seen people going through papers.
So oh, that's not good.
That can happen. Or you can burn whatever it is that you're... There's a balance between what you actually need to shred and what you don't. I have clients who will shred anything that has their name and or address on it. That's probably going slightly overboard because our names and addresses are pretty much available.
Say, unfortunately, they're everywhere now, I think. Yeah.
So that prevents very little. But if you feel that that makes you more secure, you can do that. But it's a good idea to not just throw out or recycle things that have your account numbers or personal information other than your name and address on them. So what do you do if your credit score is low? Because that is probably the case of a lot of people after the downturn in the market.
Mm-hmm. Scream.
Right.
Yeah.
So the first thing that you can do is make sure you're paying your bills on time every single month.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. You don't necessarily have to pay off your credit card every month. In some ways, that actually helps you if you carry a balance a little bit.
Right.
But it should be going downward, not upward.
Mm-hmm.
And you can work on trying to show that you do have some credit, but not too much credit, and that you are consistent in the way you are using your finances. So that is a system that needs to be set up just like any other system. And again, I think that the easiest way to do any system is to make it as thought-free as possible.
Right.
People think of habits as not necessarily a good thing, but there are habits of being a reasonably organized person. And one of them is doing things in a systematic way. It's important to get your system to be as easy as possible. And so I encourage clients to get as much stuff being paid automatically as possible. A lot of the people get points on their credit cards for paying their bills that way, and then they can use it for travel or whatever. Another habit of a reasonably organized person is weeding, getting rid of the things that they don't need. And that makes life less confusing because you don't have as much stuff that you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I think that applies to people, too.
It can, though I'm not sure that's within the scope of what I do. So a lot of people will save financial documents pretty much forever in case they need them. It's very unlikely that if you pay your taxes on time, you don't under-report your taxes, you don't have a lot of complications in your taxes, that you don't need most of your financial information much more than 3 years past when you filed the taxes. So if you file late, you have to keep the...
Right.
The 3 years starts at the time you file, not mm-hmm. at the time that the year is. If you think that you have complicated taxes or you might have underreported some tax year, then you should probably keep them 6 years. And if the IRS can prove that you have done something illegal, then you probably do need to keep them forever. So that is an idea that you might use to make sure you don't do anything illegal. You don't have to keep as much paper.
Good idea.
If you're a business person, you do have to keep paperwork that has to do with your business expenses and income. But if you're a person that doesn't own a business, if you just have a paycheck that you're get every month from or every week from your employer, then you don't have to keep very much paper at all. And that's very freeing when people realize that, because we keep all kinds of stuff. And you don't necessarily need to keep your investment statements. And unless you are an unusual person and look at your investment statements every month, they're probably just piling up somewhere. And it's a better idea to pick a time every quarter to look at them online or to meet with your investment people and try to make strategic plans about them than mm-hmm. to let them pile up. What you do need, though, is trade confirmations, because that is something that you use to figure out what your capital gains are.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I'm a big fan of not getting more stuff into our homes than we need. So if you can, put your investment documents on paperless statements. If you're not looking at them on a regular basis, that's probably a good idea, because the more paperwork, the more you have to file. And I don't know very many people who like to file.
No.
I had mentioned Mint before as a good way of keeping track of your budget and your finances. Some other money management software that is successful is MoneyStream and Personal Capital. Have you guys used any of those?
No, I have not, but I will have to check those out.
They're similar to Mint. Personal Capital is a little bit more investment heavy.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people will keep track of their finances even on graph paper and an accounting ledger.
Right.
Whatever works for you is what you should use, not making it more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So for capital gains, the information that you need to save on your investments is the name and description of the asset you sold, when you obtained it, when you sold it, what price you sold it for, and the asset's cost or other basis. I can't tell you how many times I've run into people who have 500 investment summaries but none of the trade confirmations, so they don't know how to come up with the
mm-hmm.
cost basis, and then it's very complicated trying to trace back and figure out.
Oh, yes,
exactly
it is.
That happened too.
And they expect, you know, they meet with us and they, you know, they're like, oh, we have AT&T stock from 1952 and we don't have any records. We're like, well, how are we supposed to know what, you know? So that takes, yeah, it takes a lot of time to actually figure that out.
A lot of digging. As far as my favorite online resource is, surprisingly, is IRS.gov. There's so much
information.
Information on IRS.gov. One would never think that, but there's helpful ways of taking care of almost anything that you want. The other thing that I encourage people to look at is on the Salvation Army website. There is a financial donation guide that helps you figure out how much the physical stuff you've given away is worth in terms of your taxes.
Okay.
There's a range based on how good shape it's in. But then basically the rule about that is that if you donate any of your stuff, if you donate more than $500 worth of stuff in a year, you need to make a list that's fairly descriptive with the amount of money for each of the things that you're donating. And it doesn't matter if you give it to, you know, four different organizations. It's not like $500
right.
in one. It's a total of $500. So I've seen people take photos of their stuff before they give it away, or just make a physical list and then put the valuation on that list. And that's something that my business does for our clients. As we
help get rid of things,
because just like nobody likes to file, nobody really likes to make the list of all the stuff
they're
donating. So as business owners, we are required to keep more records than other, you know, people who just have more standard jobs. It's important when you have receipts from restaurants to write on the receipts who it was that you met with and what that meeting was about, what business purpose it was, because the IRS has the right to ask you that if they mm-hmm. audit you. It's a good idea to keep receipts relating to any travel that you take, mileage, to keep a mileage log of where you're going for business purposes and write that down if you're taking some part of your car as a deduction.
Mm-hmm.
If you are planning to take a medical deduction, then you need to keep track of your medical receipts. Otherwise, you don't necessarily need to keep them unless you're keeping them to keep track of what your health has been, like your health records. But if you get a note from your doctor that says, you're healthy, you probably don't need to keep it. I think a lot of people do keep any piece of paper from any doctor just because they might possibly think that was important. It's important to keep all of your investment and bank records if you are in business, if it's business related. You don't necessarily have to keep them as paper, though. The IRS has been accepting scanned documents since 1997, so I usually recommend that people make a file folder on their computer and dump all their PDFs in there, and then at the end of the year make a flash drive of all of that and just keep that with your tax records because it takes up a lot less room.
Good idea.
And then you do have it in two places in case anything happens.
Right.
If you think you might be getting divorced sometime in the next 3 years, you probably want to keep all of the paper records because that will be needed for divorce proceedings. And I've done a few CISs with clients,
right.
And it's really annoying to have to go back and print everything that might have to do with that.
Right.
Though that's kind of a sad way of moving through
right.
life, thinking, "Oh, I might be getting divorced." Right. So I need to keep all my paper.
So, what's the biggest thing people need to be doing right now, as far as their record keeping or reorganization? I know there's a lot of stuff out there, a lot of ways, things that people need to be doing. But, you know, when you sit down for the first time with someone, you know, what's the big takeaway that they should have in working with you?
Well, typically when I get called in, it's because there's a giant pile of paper that's become so big that it's overwhelming.
And that's where my match suggestion came in.
So I guess my biggest suggestion to people is to prevent having that paper come in the first place.
Right.
To get off junk mail lists, to use catalogchoice.org to stop getting catalogs, to stop picking up paper at different functions if you're not really interested in whatever it is.
So you've met my mother.
Right. Because as I said at the very beginning of the hour, the more we have to deal with that, we may not even need to organize at all. We want to make sure that what we're deciding to organize is the stuff that is important to us and not that is organizing just for the sake of organizing.
Okay, that's good. Well, we're going to take a break, actually second and last break of the show. Having conversation with Amara Wiley, and when we come back, we'll do a couple of announcements, and then we'll get some last words from Amara in terms of, you know, the next steps that you should be taking in getting yourself organized. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, Patton, Heidi & Associates, and you are listening to Some Things About Money.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Well, welcome back. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner with Amara Wiley. Amara Wiley, not Ara, because that would be typically New Jersey, and many of you realize that I do sleep in Pennsylvania, which... yeah, it was one of the reasons why I was able to figure it out in the beginning. But I will throw my New Jersey accent for those of you who are listening in New Jersey. Quick update. Dow is up 88, S&P up 15, NASDAQ's up 56. So we continue to be green, but nowhere near as green as we were when the market opened this morning. A couple of notes. Things are going on in Hunterdon County. Flemington Fine Arts and Shows Sunday, October 30th from 8 to 10 p.m. at Stengel Factory in Flemington. I would suggest you all show up. It's a show and sale of exceptional handmade art and craft by outstanding area artists. Also, the 28th Business Expo and Restaurant Showcase will be taking place on Thursday, November 10th at Hunterdon Central Regional High School at the Fieldhouse Commons area, and that will be from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. The restaurant showcase begins at 5 and will run until 7. So just remember to come by, pick up all of your tchotchkes at the table. People will be handing out bags and all sorts of free stuff. But more importantly, you get to meet area business owners whose services or products you may need at some point in the future. So it's always a good idea to know the face and the voice of those people who you may be doing business with at some point down the road. And again, remember, buy local, buy Hunterdon. Okay, we're back with Amara. So I know there was one question that came to mind, and that related to all of the garbage emails that we get. What do you suggest we do?
I have an email that I set up just to get all the kinds of newsletters and things that people send me, and I unsubscribe or change my subscription to move things over there if I'm slightly interested in them. Otherwise, I just unsubscribe altogether from the item. There's a study that was done by IBM that relates that when people file all of their email into file folders, that it actually makes it harder to find them than if they are just in one file folder. So if you can't just delete all of your emails, which many people feel worried that they might miss something important, it's better to just move everything you have into one archived file folder that you can search later. But again, like not letting more paper into your house, don't let more email into your house. Ask people not to send you emails. Tell them what the best way of contacting you is. I have said many times that when I retire, I will not have email at all. I can't stand it. I would way rather get a text or a phone call, then have to read email.
So that might be the reason why I don't go on vacation, because I have this fear, you know, like wake up in a cold sweat screaming at my ceiling fan. And it has to do with this idea that if I go away, I'll come back to my house being completely packed with unread emails. And I just drives me nuts. I'm one of those people who needs to get rid of them and unsubscribe as quickly as possible for fear that they'll come back.
So that does take some doing to make sure that you don't get extra emails. You can also, so when I'm out giving my email out to people that I don't necessarily want to hear from again, I will give the junk email that I have. So that way, if I do want to contact them, I can search and find whatever they sent me, but that I don't have to get 500 newsletters on a daily basis from different people.
Yeah, it's kind of like all the junk just breeds.
It does. They're like rabbits. If you want to have the zero inbox that some people feel very strongly about, they're not going to be successful unless they completely clear their inbox it every day. That takes a lot of time commitment, and a lot of CEOs of companies pay somebody to do that for them or just don't do it at all. I'm a big fan of Timothy Ferris, the 4-Hour Work Week. He spends 1 hour a week on email, and he delegates everything else. He has automatic responses set up so that if somebody emails him an order, it automatically goes to the order processing place. If they email him something else, so everything that comes to him gets redistributed, which, of course, probably took some time to set up.
That does have its appeal, although I can imagine once I finally do retire, being as antisocial as some people accuse me of being, it occurs to me that that might be my only contact with the outside world, and I may start treating all of these people as friends, where now I'm treating them as nuisances.
I think that's what Facebook is for.
Well, I do that, too. That and wishing happy birthday and congratulations for promotions in business. I get those as opposed to on LinkedIn, which is what it's supposed to be for, I guess. But there's a confusion or an overlap between Facebook and LinkedIn for a lot of people. So what do you do with parents like mine who are in their 80s and just want to collect paper because they have this fear that if they don't hold on to it, you know, 5 minutes later they're going to even forget that it exists?
Right. So the more paper that somebody has, the more likely they're not going to be able to keep track of it. They will forget that they had it. They won't be able to find it, even if they file it very carefully, as my 90-year-old father does. He has file drawers and file drawers of paper. But at that point, when you're not working anymore and you don't have a lot of things that you have to do, it's probably not necessary to have that much paper. I think that the reason behind that is that it helps make them feel important, that they're still connected to the world that they used to have, and it helps them remember some of the things that they used to do. So the best way to help them not keep collecting paper is to help them feel important in a different way.
Good point. So let's see. We're winding down. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Hopefully you have learned some things to help you become better organized, and maybe we've gotten you to lay down some of those fears that you've been carrying around about the need to hold on to all of this stuff, because you can't go back electronically and find it. Companies do keep records. And as Amara said, you know, if you just hold on to the paper, you just as easily lose that, and it does subject you to identity theft and nasty things like that. So I want to thank everyone again for listening. I want to thank Amara Wiley for coming in and sharing this valuable information. Amara, tell us again, for those people who need to be working with you, how do they reach you?
I have a website. It's www.organizenj.org. .com. Whoops. www.organizenj.com. And I also have a blog that I have been keeping about not letting new things into your life, particularly plastic, which is GaiaHatesPlastic.blogspot.com. gaia.org, and that's
Gaia. So you have to explain Gaia because there are a lot of people listening in who don't know the reference.
So that's a Mother Earth goddess, Gaia, G-A-I-A. And our world has a lot of plastic waste and problems, including the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, which if you don't know what that is, you can Google it, but there's very disturbing plastic waste everywhere that's killing animals and people and in foreign countries where we send a lot of our recycling. And my blog is about how to cut down on some of our post-consumer plastic use.
Well said. Thank you again for coming. Thank you all for listening. This is Some Things About Money, and we will be back next Tuesday at our regular time and regular place, and we will talk about regular stuff. Have a great day.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Clinton and her cronies have sacrificed your security, your family's safety, and your country's safety.
Republican nominee Donald Trump saying recently released documents from the FBI point to corruption at the State Department under Hillary Clinton. Here's correspondent Sarah Jacobs.
This morning, a State Department spokesman tells Fox News allegations that Undersecretary Patrick Kennedy tried to have a Hillary Clinton email declassified in exchange for allowing the FBI to put its agents in more countries is just not true.
We looked into this. The FBI looked into this. There was no quid pro quo even suggested or any kind of bargain laid on the table.
Trump is calling for Patrick Kennedy's resignation.
Donald Trump's wife Melania tells CNN then Access Hollywood host Billy Bush egged her husband on when he made those remarks about women 11 years ago.
To say dirty and bad stuff.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit. Until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
The nation's inflation rate is up more than analysts were expecting. Figures just out from the Labor Department showing the consumer price index for September bumped up 0.3%. Analysts had forecast a 0.2% pickup. Days after the firebombing of a North Carolina Republican Party headquarters, there's an investigation in Arizona after a bomb threat comes into a GOP office there.
Officials with the Phoenix Police Department say the nonspecific bomb threat was left on a voicemail at the headquarters in Phoenix Monday afternoon. Police and employees started searching the building for suspicious items or suspicious people who didn't belong at the HQ. Some workers and volunteers were told to wait across the street and were being questioned by officers. Several hours later, investigators came up empty-handed and the all-clear was given. Jason Campidonia, Phoenix.
Fox anchor Shepard Smith denies that Roger Ailes ever kept him from revealing he's gay, but now Ailes is gone and Smith has come out during an interview with the Huffington Post. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country.